This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on point, and here we are again. And when I mean we, I mean, of course, my long-suffering co-host, who is, as always, live from Centerville, Virginia. Appropriate enough on a very wet Memorial Day weekend, it is the mermaid Anna Knox.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
This weather sucks.
Yeah, kind of sucks that we have all this rain, and I'm hearing from a lot of friends that it's pretty much spoiled their Memorial Day weekend, and I totally get that.
Well, it's a shame.
It is. Yeah, obviously, of course, we're bummed because, well, I mean, maybe not as much as earlier in the week because we've had time to get over it. But of course, we're in elimination land again.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe it is like the fact that it is later that I'm just, whatever at this point. Because, and I will say, you posted that list of injuries. And I'll have to say, like, my initial reaction was I was super pissed because here are all these injuries. Then you know what? Next person up, put your ego aside and let somebody who has fresh legs and maybe a younger age or whatever else, and let them come out and play. But instead, all these guys, the vets and the players that we love the most, were out there not playing 100%, certainly not looking 100%, and the whole team suffered.
Yeah, I was with you. I was so with you on that point, and I really wish they'd done that, and because I mean, you never know.
Right.
Might have stretched it to 6 or 7 games. Might have made at least something of a better showing.
Something exactly, and it's just like, you know, come on. So it was like, okay, was seeing the injuries going to make anybody feel better? Like, oh, okay, well, we had a lot of injuries, right? And we have a whole roster. So what the fuck? And so like, I don't want to hear about, you know, someone's hip and someone's groin and someone's this. You knew you weren't going to give it 100%, then you step aside and you do next man up. That's it. So, yeah, not cool.
That's yeah, it. No, I totally get that. And, yeah, it was off the top of my head, it was that I was able to confirm it was those four players. And then later on, we learned that Backstrom had something with his hip for several weeks or something like that that wasn't even going to allow him to play in the world championships. And yeah, that
well, actually, speaking of the world champion, like what are your thoughts on the whole is it the Capitals not allowing Samsonov to go represent Russia in whatever?
I'm kind of mixed about that because I wouldn't mind him getting some more playing time because he got so little this season, and yet I think there's a lingering trust issue, if you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
So
I think, you know, it's like they're kind of saying like, we got our finger on you, my friend. But then again, it's like, do they also risk putting him out there? And what if he gets injured, you know? But I'm like, but he could get injured here. So whatever. But I definitely feel like he has kind of burned some bridges that it's going to take a lot for him to get the respect of fans and maybe the coaching staff back.
Now, on the upside, they've already you know, put out that story that he's going to get a quote unquote second chance to be the guy in goal.
Don't you think he's going to have to? I don't know. I mean, and that's with that organization, but I think the fans can be rather, you know, miffed about things as well and say, you know, hey, screw you. Like, you know, when we needed you, you weren't there kind of thing and this and that. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure either, because like I said, I'm of two minds about it right now. The whole attitude toward him. Mm-hmm. He didn't grab his opportunity during the regular season, but come playoff time, he showed me something. Now that something he showed me has a nice big fat black mark on it because of a certain thing that he did in one of the overtimes that the games went through.
Right.
That we won't discuss anymore, but I mean, he did show me something. And I think, with the proper care and development, I think he really could still be something. Mm-hmm. And worse come to worse, if he doesn't pan out, then he'll be trade bait.
Yeah.
So, right now, it might sound horrible to you out there on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. But I mean, right now, that's the best evaluation I can make, because he's still something of a question mark, and he's got to know that. He's got to understand that. And I think this coming year, unfortunately or fortunately, is a make or break year for him.
Agreed.
So.
Yeah, but I just saw that and I thought that's interesting. They're putting tabs on him, but you know, this was his warning.
Yeah, yeah, it was, and I certainly can understand why. So
yeah,
okay. Well, we all saw the game. I'm just going to give a quick, kind of informal rundown. First period, no goals. Pastrnak got one. 2:28 in the second. I think this was the one where he was practically left alone in front of the net, tossed a wrister in. Well, what do you expect? He didn't even need a Dunkin' cold brew afterwards to wake up. So, and then about 12 minutes later, Patrice Bergeron with his second makes it 2-0. And I hate to say it, but I think at that point we were all kind of thinking, all right, well, this is it.
Yeah.
But out of sheer morbid, torturous curiosity, I sat around and hoped for the best. And the light finally came on when Connor Sherry broke through and got his first of the playoffs 11 seconds into the third. And then all of a sudden there was life, and they sure as hell played like it. It was nice of them to, you know, finally realize they were in a hockey game, in an elimination hockey game.
Right.
And everything seemed great. And they were, you know, there was more dog in the fight, or fight in the dog, however you want to put it. And then Bergeron put another nail in the coffin and made it 3-1, and that's how it ended. And first start of the game, appropriately enough, was Tuukka Rask. I got to hand it to him. He came up big these last two games. You know? Yeah. And you and I and Robbie talked about it Monday on the most recent edition on Sports on the Hill. Where thanks again to Robbie for inviting me on. Stick tap to him and the whole show. We kind of did a post-mortem of the season featuring that game, if you missed it. And the Bruins just turned out to be the better team.
Yeah.
This series, you know, injuries aside, which is what we just talked about, you know, it just looked like the Bruins wanted it more. They played like it. They played like, you know, they were the better team, and you know, it looked even those first few games, but you know, and I forget who wrote, I think it was Nova Caps. I saw this article, but something about basically the Caps just ran out of gas. And yeah. I think that was it. So it was two cars, two souped up cars in a drag race. And, you know, one was just better and one ran out of gas. And that's really what it came down to.
Exactly.
I mean, on paper, it looked like a better effort. 41 shots on goal by the Caps.
Right.
Unfortunately, if you look up the heat map, I would say probably 70% of them were from beyond the circles and mm-hmm. between that area and the blue lines, which is not where you want to shoot at a Tuukka Rask unless you have somebody's big ass in his face.
Right.
Which we didn't. And I'm surprised. Speaking of injuries, I'm surprised that Wilson was not part of that list. And if he was, they didn't say anything. He did not look like, I mean, he was trying. He was trucking fying, but he didn't look like what he usually looks like.
I agree.
And I don't know. He looked a little off too. So I don't know that he was 100%. And so I was surprised he wasn't in the big exit interview reveal about,
mm-hmm.
oh, hey, by the way, this guy had this wrong. This guy had that wrong. This guy was doing this. You got to love those exit interviews.
Oh, I would hate to have to do that. You know, it's the exit interviews. It's the stupid. And then it's like, and then are you really going to ask the obvious and, you know, and stupid questions? And it's like these guys just want to go, you know, it's like, they know they didn't play well. Okay. Thanks. You know, what could you have done differently? Play better. I don't know. What do you want to hear? So I don't know.
Well, I mean, so, it's the same thing what we've talked about all year long and all last year, you know, mm-hmm. 60 minutes of hockey. And that's all we ask. And I mean, yeah, they couldn't deliver it for obvious reasons. And now we know why, but still, you know, you're in an elimination game, do better than, you know, sit back and throw 60-foot shots at the net and hope that it one reaches them and two goes in.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. If you have to lose, then show a little bit more effort. And that's really all we could have hoped for. And first two periods, what it came down to is we just didn't see it.
Yeah. No. And then it's too little too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? And unfortunately, yeah, that's what it was. So, okay, so last week I promised everybody in our discussion, and thanks once again to Josh Kirby last week for coming in and sharing his thoughts about the team and how they were doing in the playoffs and overall. But when we got to talking about the future of the Caps and as to who should stay and who should go, and that's when I said, well, there's one guy in particular that needs to go and go soon if this team has any chance of improving,
mm-hmm.
both in the short and the long term. So no more waiting. I'm going to reveal his name right now. That player's name is John Carlson.
Yep.
I told you it was not going to be a guy you expected, not a guy who you were thinking. You might have been thinking, oh, Cousy, he's got to go. Believe me, I have thoughts on him, but I don't think he's even 50% of the problem right now. Mm-hmm. Or you might be thinking a guy like Brendan Dillon or Schultz or somebody that, you know, on paper right now, or in the short term doesn't appear to have worked out. But no, it's not any of those guys. It's John Carlson, and I'll tell you why. And it's because I think he is the last remnant of. But you know what? I'm not going to get into that just yet. I'm going to make that my final reason. Let me just give you some solid numbers to back that up. So I punched up NHL.com. You can do a side-by-side comparison of the last 2 years. Now, I know they were both COVID-shortened seasons. This year's was 56 games. Last year was 69 games. So kind of apples and oranges. But the trend is still, you can still see a trend here. Obviously, he had less points, less, you know, scoring-wise overall. But his rate went down. His points per game ratio went down. It was over a point per game in 2020.
Uh-huh.
It was under that.
This
season.
Okay.
So his product, and keep in mind, he's not getting any younger. He's already 30. So
right.
He is, so first reason is the fact that he's already peaked and he's going to get worse, not better, or not even stay the same over the rest of this albatross contract that we've got of his. So just over a point per game last season, 0.85 under, so under a point this year, plus minus. Okay, so yeah, I get some out there don't take stock in plus minus, but again, it's a window to the bigger picture. So last year, he was a plus 12, and he got panned for his overall defensive performance last year, at least the last half of last year. This year, overall, minus 5.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware it was that severe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would not mind if it was like even or a plus one or a low on the positive side.
This is huge.
But yeah, this is bad. And he wasn't going to get any better. And it turned out he had something wrong with his knee at the end of the year.
Again.
Annoyed. I know. Right. And it, yeah. So if he had a bad wheel, I mean, that explains why the power play tanked to some extent, because he's our quarterback. And yeah, I know some of you out there might be screaming and saying, hey, you can't get rid of our power play quarterback. Well, yes, you can if he's not doing the job.
Right.
So the point I'm making here is that his numbers are not trending up. They're not even plateauing. They're going down, and they're going to continue to slide. And he has at least, I'm thinking, 6 years left on the current contract. Yeah, yeah. They signed him to an 8-year deal.
I thought maybe he had like 4 or 5 years
left. No. They signed him to an 8-year deal like year before last.
Okay.
So. Yeah, and that's
tough.
Yeah, right. That was post-cup. And again, his best seasons are unfortunately behind him. He was at his peak, I would say, the cup year and 2019. And since then, Johnny for Norris is not as much of a meme as we thought it might have been. And I'm sorry, but he's been nowhere near Norris caliber. Now, of course, in the offensive categories, for the most part, he's still top 5 on this team.
Right.
I also wanted to, and I consulted Blake on this, but if you look at all eight of the main defensemen, well, 7, because Siegenthaler didn't get a chance to play. Any significant time. But if you look at goals for 60 minutes, goals against per 60 minutes,
right,
John Carlson ranks near the bottom or at the bottom in goals against per 60. In fact, he's the worst of the 7.
That's great.
If your job is to play defense, you can't. No, no, you can't have that. Now, of course, he's only. Wow, I was surprised when I saw this, but goals 460. Orlov was better.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Schultz was better. And of all people, Brendan Dillon was better.
Of all people. Come on now.
Three guys who had higher goals 460 ratio than Carlson. So, again, the numbers say he's trending downward. And do we really want 6 years of that?
So what are the options when it comes to something like that?
When it comes to something like what?
Like,
as in,
you have this huge contract of 8 years, and the player starts to poop out in their second or third. And what option do they have? Do you know the team? You trade them, but then what happens to the salary stuff?
Well, the team he gets traded to assumes the salary.
But so he would have to be signed for 6 years with another team.
Right. So they would automatically pick up that contract. Okay. So unfortunately, that's the downside to this, because unfortunately, nobody is going to want that contract, no matter how badly they might want him.
Exactly.
So as much as I would like to see it happen, it's probably not going to happen, but let me continue. But he does need to go, though. And not just because his numbers are trending down and will continue to trend down because he's getting older and more injury prone. This was what I was going to get into before I presented the numbers.
Okay.
He is probably the last relic of the culture that Peter LaViolette and before him Barry Trotz tried to clean up as far as lazy, irresponsible play in your own end. We've already talked about this. Nick Backstrom should be a perennial Selke candidate. That's the trophy for best defensive forward, if you're not familiar with that. So we already know what he can do. Ovi, well, I mean, he back checks when he can. He blocks shots when he can. I don't think we can ask him to do more than he's already doing. Uh-huh. We've got a fourth line that shuts everything down. So that leaves the middle lines. Eller does what he does. The forwards are doing what they can when they can. So it's down to the defensive core. And as I just went over, a lot of the main guys, your Orlov, your Brendan Dillon, TVR, Schultz, those guys are, to the most extent, reasonable as far as not being the guy, which Carlson is right now, are doing their job. And Carlson is not. The goals against pile up when he's on the ice. That's not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. And if this team has any hope of contending, I know everybody's talking about the window being closed, and realistically, that's what we're facing. But if this team has any hope of getting better in the future, we can't burn out our goalies with giving up so many shots against.
True.
So, and like it or not, indirectly or directly, Carlson is, whether he's in the wrong place at the wrong time or he's, on the ice and letting a guy blow by him or just standing there like a pylon in front of the net and then turning around and at the last second and seeing the puck go in. Like, I've seen him do dozens of times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this team needs to learn how to buckle down defensively, and they're just not going to do it if he's getting 20, 25 minutes or more a night.
Right.
And
yeah, that makes sense.
So right now, I would rather they would get a younger guy who knows how to skate, knows how to move the puck, maybe can learn to be the power play quarterback. But I don't want that guy to be the liability that John Carlson has become. And I know this is kind of superficial, but when I say he's the last remnant of that lazy play culture. Uh-huh. I mean, the best evidence I have of that, take a look at old replays of whenever the Caps have gone on the power play, especially this playoffs. What does he do? So Caps win the faceoff. What does he do? Turn around, slingshot to his partner. You telling me that that's Laviolette and McCarthy's game plan for the power play? Or right. maybe even blame Forsythe. I don't know. Maybe he needs to go too. But either way, no other defenseman does that.
Right.
None of them. Only him. And he has that so ingrained in what he does. It rags time off the power play and just is absolutely no friggin' good. So,
it's incredibly frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating, and you expect so much from a guy who's making all that money, who they secured to such a long-term contract.
Uh-huh.
But between the fact that he's trending down, and that he's getting older, and frankly, he's making too much money and just isn't really worth it anymore.
Right.
I mean, you open up $8 million, that can do wonders. You can get two bottom six defensemen for that money, at least. You can get all kinds of things. You can get a top six forward. You can do so much. And the Caps, as we've said, since last week and beyond, they're up against it cap-wise. They need to start shedding salary. And I, for one, can't think of a better place than starting with that contract right there.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem, other than what Anna and I talked about. Not only does he have that big contract that not many people are going to have or have room for to accept, uh-huh. much less want to take on. He also has a modified no trade clause.
Oh.
Yeah. And so for this season, as I understand it, he can put in a list of 15 teams that he can say, well, you can't trade me to this team. And then year after next, year after next, it goes down to 10 teams. So as the contract progresses, that modified no trade clause goes down. And you can, if you want to fact check me, you can go to capfriendly.com and check on that. But I mean, between those two things, unfortunately, I think unfortunately he's here to stay, and I don't think I can take another year of him being a liability on defense. Right. Don't get me wrong. I love what he's done, but again, he peaked in the cup year and 2019, and he hasn't gotten any better, never will get any better. And
maybe something will change with the time off.
Maybe. Well, I mean, maybe he'll have one last gasp of it this year. Maybe he'll be something of a comeback player, but the longer they hold on to him, I think the worse it's going to get. And that's why I say, do what you can to dump that salary now, if you can.
Yeah.
So
if you can, the big F.
That's right. So that's a big if. Okay. So I think we're going to end it here. Apologies beforehand. I had some plans for this episode, it being Memorial Day weekend, for a guest to come on, but that unfortunately appears to have fallen through. So apologies for that. Now, previews of coming attractions. Anna's got some obligations here, so we're going to cut this short, and she actually may not be on with us next week. But next week, we're actually going to do the final post-mortem. I'm going to speak more about what the Caps will need to do, but I just revealed what the big thing that, you know, the make a splash move that they can do, honestly, to get things moving again and get some flexibility and right the ship, as it were.
So, mm-hmm.
But yeah, next week, I plan on doing the final postmortem and a little bit of a celebration of this past month, which was Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And no big surprise. It's going to feature yours truly because I am an Asian American.
Yes, you are.
But if anyone listening who is of that community, of that heritage, would like to come on the show, you are absolutely more than welcome to share your experiences. Mm-hmm. But I will be featuring myself in that in case we don't get any replies. And we'll wrap it up for another year, 2021, then. I'm thinking to have there's one or two guys in particular I've been dying to have on the show who I think I'm going to get on the show just to kind of thank them for the year because they've been especially helpful in kind of boosting the Facebook page and the listenership.
Oh, nice.
I want to get them on, thank them publicly. So I'm going to try to do that as well. Just close out the year, and then it's a sweet summer vacation up until next season. Mm. So unless something absolutely earth-shattering happens, which it may well, and we'll have a quick special edition during the off season, but until then, mainly it's going to be we'll be off until next fall, and like school, we'll ring the bell and do it all over again.
Yes, we will.
All right, so Mermaid, you got any final thoughts? This pretty much being your last show as we see it for 2021.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see. Maybe things will shift, and like I said, I'm just waiting on the schedule. But I do have that prior commitment for the swim team. But
yes.
No, it was a 2021. I think just everything about 2021 is just going to be shaking my head. You know. I don't even know. There's nothing shocks me is become my motto. There's nothing that anyone's going to say or do that shocks me anymore because I feel like we've been through so much. But we did it. We committed. We cheered our team on. And we will do it again in the fall.
Yes, we will. Because nobody's given up on this team. So
no way.
My message to those of you out there who might be a little upset now, even after all this time. And look, I hear the same thing too. The window's closed. Well, the outside observers might say the window's closed, but anything can happen when you stick together and you put in your best effort. Yep. And I can't see this team at least not contending for a playoff spot. And as we all know, once you get in, anything can happen.
Right.
All right. So, I think we'll wrap it up for this edition of the Power Play Point podcast. Mermaid, Anna, if I don't see you again or hear from you again until next episode, thanks for coming on as always.
Of course. My pleasure.
To do this with me and talk to you soon. So for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that if you Google Lost Medieval Servant Boy, you'll get a notice in the result. It'll say, this page cannot be found.
Why would you ever Google something like that?
Well, because I'm a history buff. So if you search for medieval servant boy, otherwise known as a page cannot be found.
But I just don't know what time, whenever you would honestly Google something like that. But anyways, then we're going to start getting into my Renaissance fair opinions and stuff. So no, we're not going to talk about it. We are good to
huzzah.
Go.
Huzzah. Huzzah. I had to throw one last one at you. You know,
yes,
that.
Yes, you did.
All right. So for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off. Please do join us next week for more detailed postmortem of 2021. We close the coffin lid on that for once. Thanks for listening, and hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, BlueLiner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.